This is WHTC Money Matters, the show that dispels the myths, unravels the mysteries, and explains in plain language the world of investing, as well as brings you strong, common-sense financial guidelines for life. The opinions expressed in this show are for general information only and are not intended to give advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investment or investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your accountant, attorney, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered by LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group in downtown Zeeland, here are your hosts, Carrie Cooley and Brent Kerwacker.
And good morning, Western Michigan. Welcome to Money Matters on this Saturday morning. This is your host, Carrie Cooley.
And Brent Kerwacker.
Hey, Brent, we have come off an interesting week in the market with a lot of news that's been thrown out. There always is a lot of news, but, you know, we're going to talk about today navigating the financial markets, and especially now, I think this is going to be very educational, and we have an interesting year coming up. It's an election year. The Federal Reserve's talking about interest rates and keeping inflation down and holding interest rates or lowering them. It's like just a mixed bag of things out there right now. And where do people go?
Well, and the market has been testing new highs regularly. And so we've gotten questions, hey, should I even be investing now? The market's at a new high. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Well, but we'll be talking about that today. So before we go into a short break, Carrie, let's take a look at how markets wrapped up the week.
For the week of March 18, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished up 1.75% for the week. The S&P 500 was up 1.35% for the week. The NASDAQ finished up a strong 2.14% for the week. And the 10-year Treasury was down 2.46%.
And welcome back, listeners. Welcome to Money Matters this Saturday morning. Hey, we're going to be talking about navigating the financial markets here, but let's talk about things that listeners should know from the week and just talking about fun facts.
Let's talk about the yield curve. That was talked about a lot last year, and that's where you're measuring the difference between short-term bonds and long-term bonds. Now, in theory, this is an educational moment, listeners. In theory, a short-term bond should have a lower interest rate than a long-term bond, because if you're buying a bond and you're locking your money up for a longer period of time, you would want to be compensated at a higher interest rate. But for the last 20 months, that has not been the case. Short-term bonds are paying a higher interest rate than long-term bonds. That is the definition of an inverted yield curve.
Yep.
And that's been going on for 20 months now. Now, historically, when we have an inverted yield curve, that is a forecasting sign that a recession is in the near future. But that recession has not come, and at this point, we're not so sure it's going to even happen anymore, which is an okay thing. That's
it
a good thing.
It's
not a bad thing. We were calling it a reset, but the word would be recession. So now strategists are starting to say, can we no longer rely on the inverted yield curve to project future recessions? I don't know. Time will tell. But what's the point of that fact today? It's been 20 months of an inverted yield curve and yet no recession. And right now, no signs of a recession.
Yeah. And we still hear the term soft landing out there in the news a lot. We talk about yield curve. The other thing in the news is inflation. They talk about inflation. And in February, inflation report came in a slight uptick to 3.2% from last year. However, the S&P 500 index closed at a new high on March 12, the day the inflation report was released. So that's quite interesting. People don't like inflation, but they still feel good about the market. And investors still believe that the Federal Reserve is on track to cut interest rates later this year. So there's that thing out there that we know about interest rates going down. And the Fed has kind of said, hey, we're going to lower rates, but inflation ticked up slightly. So what's happening here? We don't know.
And they've met this week, and we're going to cover the footage of that meeting in our next show. So we're not really talking about that today. But Yeah, I think it's going to be a few months before they even consider lowering rates, but time will tell there. Let's see here. Let's talk about gold. Gold recently reached a record high price of $2,200 an ounce, despite headwinds from the higher interest rates and a firm dollar. But investors aren't buying, I guess. The people who buy gold usually buy it to offset decreasing dollar value. But at this point, even though the dollar's held strong, the gold investors are out there and they're gobbling up gold and pushing it to a new high.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the foreign markets here. Let's look at talking specifically of China. And most recently, this has been in the news, there was bipartisan support, which we don't get a lot of lately here. But the House passed a bill that's intended to force China, and the company name goes by ByteDance, to divest its popular social media app called TikTok due to concerns of national security risks. So if the parent company doesn't sell TikTok, it would face a U.S. ban on the app, and the bill faces an uncertain future in the Senate.
Yeah, so, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there, but that was all over the news last week, and there are millions of TikTok users, So it will be interesting to see what happens. That's not something I remember ever happening in my lifetime, where they shut a company down. But I'm sure it's happened. I just not something I guess I've followed before. But interesting. They're concerned, yeah, that maybe China's getting data from us that, yeah, could breach security concerns through the videos that people are recording and posting.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you never know.
This one's a little concerning. More Americans are using their 401k retirement accounts as a source of emergency funds. In 2023, 3.6% of Vanguard plan participants took early withdrawal from their accounts for financial emergencies. And this was up from 2.8% in 2022. So almost a full percent more people using their 401k to fund emergencies. Nearly 40% of participants who took so-called hardship distributions in 2023 did so to avoid foreclosure on their property.
Interesting.
I mean, that's a warning sign. Those are things that we look for as we're trying to strategize with how to invest in the markets. But real estate's expensive. Man, that's people's biggest cost.
It is. It is.
Whether it's rent or a mortgage payment, that takes up a large chunk of people's cash flow.
Let's talk about the Chinese New Year. And a U.S. company we know well, Starbucks. It's kind of interesting here. Starbucks is betting on an unusual combination of pork and coffee with a new drink release in China marking the Lunar New Year. And it's the name of it's dubbed the Abundant Year Savory Latte. Interesting.
Pork and coffee. I don't know. Now, we're not recommending Starbucks as a company there. But yeah, it was a publicly traded company. We thought that's interesting news.
Pork
and coffee. I don't know. I guess can't knock it till you try it.
Yeah. And you have to realize Asian markets and people, pork is a big part of their diet. And so Starbucks is trying to capitalize on that taste from the Asian market.
Well, let's take a look at how markets are going, Carrie. It's been a little bit since we've done an update here. And let's just start with some year-to-date numbers. Again, when we have this discussion, we're just looking at categories. We typically are comparing mutual funds or ETFs that are in the growth category versus the value category. So I'll take the growth there. Now, investments, mutual funds, ETFs get broken down into you can buy large companies. You can buy funds that invest in medium-sized companies, which tends to be a lot of banks, and small companies, which also can be a lot of banks as well. But there's large, medium, small companies. And again, just like last year, the large companies in the growth category are off to a fast start. And so the category large growth year to date up 9.95%, almost 10% for the year. If you annualize that, that's on track to have a way bigger year than last year. Now, again, we don't know what the future holds, but it's thus far on track to outpace last year if it can hold.
Well, what's interesting about the same category, Brent, go from year-to-date to the one-year number, that same category, large growth, is up 44%.
Yeah, for the trailing 12 months, up 44%. That's massive.
That is huge. That's massive. Yeah.
So medium-sized companies in the growth category year-to-date, up 6.74, trailing 12 months, 30%. And then small companies in the growth category, up 3.27 year-to-date, 21% for trailing 12 months. How about, why don't you explain what a value, the value category, and how value is doing?
So value is companies that are maybe not growing as fast, so the stock price doesn't grow as fast, but they pay more in the sense of dividends. So that category, year-to-date, is large value is up 5.5%. And the trailing 12 months in that same area is up over 22%. Now, I know that's half of what the large growth area did for the last 12 months. However, I'd take 22% all day long. That is just a great return. Now, going to mid value, you're looking at a little over 4% year to date. And the 1 year number in that same category is 22%. Now, small value year to date is down 2.75%, and that area tends to be a little bit more volatile, and small companies can change quickly. You know, even swinging over to that trailing 12 months on the small value, they're still up 16.6%, which all good numbers. So short term, you can't always look at the short-term numbers. You need to look at long-term and even longer than that one-year number. But those one-year numbers are all really good.
Yeah, so value does lag growth, but value doesn't fall that far behind growth when you look at it in 10-year intervals.
Yeah.
But when growth has a big run-up, which it's happening right now, value tends to lag. What does that mean? Can't guarantee this, but the potential is there is coming a time where value will have its catch-up moment.
Yep.
So,
totally,
and we're going to talk about the importance of diversification in our last segment today when we get to talking about navigating the financial markets. And we're actually going to probably cover diversification for a little bit today because it is important, and we'll explain why later. But why don't we take a look, Carrie, at just some of the sectors. So when we're talking about the market, when we're talking about the stock market, not bonds right now, just the stock market. The stock market has been divided into 11 business sectors, and we're able to monitor each sector to see trends. What's doing good? What's not doing so good? So, Carrie, just want to, again, why don't we look at the year-to-date right now and just grab the top three sectors, and I will focus on the lowest performing three sectors.
Okay, we can do that. So, year-to-date, the top sectors, top of the list is communication services, up over 14.6%, which hasn't been a surprise. And then you have information technology, up 11.4%. And then coming in third is the category of energy, 9.7% that it's up year to date. So we've had a swing in energy from last year really struggling to having a good year. And the whole communication services and information technology sector doesn't surprise us because of the whole AI and technology.
All right, before we go to break, let me cover the three worst performing sectors. This one surprised me a little bit. And again, I think it's something to research a little bit. So the consumer discretionary, I'm not taking these. I'm actually taking these in order of the not the worst. I'm starting with the third from the bottom and then working my way down, listeners. So consumer discretionary is up 2% year to date. I'm a little surprised by that, I think, just because people are spending money, but it must be more on items that are, you know, this is discretionary. So the food, your standard items, you know, food and things of that nature. Real estate down 2.5%. Real estate's under pressure because of interest rates. I'm not talking residential housing here. I'm talking commercial real estate under pressure because of interest rates. Why? If you go to borrow to buy a commercial building, which say a couple million-dollar building, and your interest rate is 7%, your payment is larger than it would have been 2 years ago when rates were in the upper threes, low fours. And that impacts the ability for a piece of investment real estate to produce as much profit, which generates value. And then the last sector, utilities, we're at 0.63% for the year. And utilities are also interest rate sensitive. So when we see interest rates come down, we see the utility sector go up. On that note, we got to go to a break. We will be right back with listener questions. You're listening to Money Matters.
And welcome back, listeners. Welcome to Money Matters this Saturday morning. Brent, we're going to be talking about navigating the financial markets. But as always, listeners, we have questions that are from you each week, and we put these into the show. And hopefully you can glean some information from these questions and help you in your financial journey.
Yeah, I'll read the first question to you. And then before I have you answer it, I'm going to add to it because I met with a client this week that had a very similar question, just a little bit different twist. So I'm going to share that as well here because it falls into the same category. But the question we received was, how can I diversify my investments to offset the financial impact of taking a career break to care for my young children? I think that's a great question. And I had a couple in this week. This was a fun conversation. They are not spenders. They are savers. But yet they appreciate the great outdoors. They were in their mid-30s, and they've decided that 5 years from now, they're going to take a career break for a whole year.
Okay.
So around age 40. And they're going to get in the RV and go tour the U.S. Awesome. And so we had to talk about today, and I like that they're forward thinkers because we have 5 years now to strategize. How do they take a year off to go do this without impacting future retirement and making sure they have enough money saved to live off of during that year? And does that sound lazy to some people? I don't know. Maybe in America it could. I actually was quite proud of them because as I get older, and I'm sure many listeners can attest to this, we don't know what tomorrow brings.
That's true. We just don't. Yeah.
We don't know if today's our last day, right? We just don't know. And so trying to do some of these things and experience the beautiful creation that's around us, I was quite proud of them because they're doing it because they're planning. They're not just saying, I just don't want to work. I'm going to take a year off. Yeah. They're planning for it. So I'm sorry. I got off a track there because I just thought the importance of doing some things that are important to you, kind of your bucket list item. So back to the question, how does someone plan for taking a career break, Kerry?
Yeah. And well, and I have a question in regards to that couple you mentioned. Do they have children?
They do. They're teenagers. Okay. And so they're plotted it. So their last kid will be out of high school when they do that.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay. So good planning there. Well, you know, some of the stuff when we answer questions like this, you know, the questions may be different, but sometimes the answers can be very similar. And so in this case, too, like the couple you talked to, Brent, this couple that or this person that wrote in this question, taking a break to stay at home and take care of young children, is to invest in diversified asset classes. You want to spread your investments across stocks, across bonds, real estate. And I think the big thing out there too is the alternative investments. You want to do that to reduce the exposure to one single market. Because if you have too much in one single market, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. You have a lot of volatility that can happen. But by spreading it out, you reduce that volatility. You want to also consider investments that generate income, investments that may replace some of the income that's lost by the person that's not working, is to find investments that pay you good dividends, take some of those dividends is to replace some of that income. And then utilize tax advantage retirement accounts. You want to maximize contributions to retirement accounts such as IRAs like Roth, 401ks through your employer if you have it, especially if your employer has a matching program and they say, hey, you know, Brent, if you put in 5%, we'll match you 3%. You know, that's free money. Those are things you want to do to diversify, you know, look at income generating. And it, like your couple you talked about, Brent, this question, this couple's planning ahead to take a break to care for children, which I think is an excellent goal.
Yeah, so you and I were at a conference last week, and the guest speaker talked about, his topic was, what do you want to do before you die? And it was just a great question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great speaker.
Absolutely.
And it got you and I kind of talking about what are some of our goals. In fact, when we have our next staff meeting at the office there, I'm ahead of time asking all of our staff members to come with one item, one thing they want to do before they die, and talk about how are we going to make that a reality. And so I challenge the listeners out there, you know, make a list. What are a couple things you want to do before you die?
Oh, absolutely.
And then not just write it down, but then write, how am I going to accomplish that? How am I going to make that happen?
Yep. It may be you need to save some money to do this thing that you want to do. Sometimes it's just putting it on the calendar and doing it and taking the time to do it. It's as simple as that.
And we can help people plan for that,
absolutely.
Just like the client I met with this week. So, listener, thank you for that question. I appreciate that. Second question we got, a good question here, too. What are the tax implications associated with life insurance? Sorry, I had a tough one getting that one out. Life insurance, such as the taxation of death benefits or the cash value accumulation. So most common form of life insurance these days is term insurance. It's the cheapest. Premiums are level. They don't change. So someone will get a 10, 20, 30-year term policy. It might have a death benefit. It can be whatever you want. But we'll just say $500,000 to $1 million. Well, if you buy that life insurance and that person passes away, you've named beneficiaries. So let's just say you have $1 million policy. You pass away, and now your beneficiaries get this $1 million. The question is that taxed? And in the vast majority of cases, the answer to that is no, it's not taxed. That is income that the beneficiary receives tax-free. The only way that would potentially be taxed if someone sold their life insurance policy to someone else. So let's just say I have a policy on myself and I sell it to Carrie. And so now Carrie would be the owner of that policy. So we could change the beneficiaries in that case. So if I passed away, the money could go to Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
That potentially could be taxable.
Okay.
If it's sold. But that's very, very, very uncommon. If you're just buying the standard life insurance policy for your family and it passes on, not taxed. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Yeah, some of those life insurances can have cash value. If you have a whole life policy, they can build up a cash value. And sometimes people will borrow against that cash value. You know, they gross tax deferred, but now let's say you go and borrow against that policy. There's also a chance that there could be some tax, there may not be some tax. It depends on how the contract is structured, how it pays out, and, you know, the benefits and how the loan is structured within the contract. So, again, if you're looking at life insurance as part of your investment plan, you know, we can help you with that. We can look at current life insurance that you have. Review. A good example here, just, you know, late last year, we had a customer that, Brent, they had a large cash value in an old whole life policy. We were able to exchange that to a new policy. There's no tax implications, but we were able to get a higher death benefit with the cash value, lower the premium, and in addition, add a rider on it that this person could take out money for long-term care expenses prior to passing away. So sometimes you need to review those old policies, just don't let them set. You need to look at your life situation, review them, and say, hey, is there a tune-up we need to do there to help me out?
And we can help you with that.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's move into our show today, Carrie. Navigating the financial markets. And markets are ever-changing. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. I mean, as we sit today, we can look at all the data. We can look at interest rates. Where do we think interest rates are going? We can look at inflation. Where do we think inflation's going? What's the demand for real estate? I mean, there's a lot of economic indicators that we can look at, manufacturing production levels, and we can start to project out where do we think things are going. But things can change so quickly. A 9/11, maybe the U.S. announces they're going to go to war. Now, I hope not, but things can change so quickly, and markets react instantly, quicker than the general investor could ever react. By the time news comes out, markets already dropped. It's not like you can all of a sudden quick make changes. I mean, your value's already gone that quickly, and it can happen fast. And so we want to talk about how to navigate ever-changing financial markets.
Well, and that kind of brings me to my tie-in article I read with Wall Street Journal here a couple of days ago. It was dealing with one of the large rental car agencies, and the CEO made a very large bet on EVs, electric vehicles, and like to the purchase of 100,000 vehicles. Well, they're finding out that they're expensive to repair, and the cost of them being rented out is just not feasible.
Well, the demand's not there because people don't want to have to go find a charger with a rental car.
Exactly. So now this rental car agency is trying to divest of these cars, and they're losing a lot of money. And guess what? The CEO is gone now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a tough one because the political system's pushing us that direction, but people are starting to find the reality is electric cars aren't ready yet. But so I think, tell me what your point was there. The ever-changing.
Here.
Bring it back to our show.
I will. And that shows you how politically we were pushed to go EVs, and that was everybody's getting all in. Companies are all in, and people were jumping on the bandwagon, investing in, companies associated with electric vehicles, and all of a sudden we're seeing that swing back. People aren't as crazy, and all of a sudden there's a big change, a reaction in the market.
Yeah, and I'll bring that home, Carrie, because there are a lot of investments popped up with certain types of ETFs, mutual funds, where you could specifically buy into just strictly lithium battery companies. And that would make sense. 2 years ago, everyone's like, oh, I got to get into lithium, And we help people do that, move some of the small portion of investments towards that direction. And it did good for a little bit. And then it went the other direction. And so that's part of why we're going to talk about today with the importance of a diversified portfolio. Because, yes, everything was pointing to
EVs.
Let's start investing heavily into them. And then the reality hit. People aren't buying them because the infrastructure and the ability to travel far is just not there. And the colder climates, I think it's like a 30-40% loss in mileage in the winter months. So if your car can go 300 miles in the winter here, if you lose 40% of that, that's 120 miles. All of a sudden, I can't get as far. So good point there. And that's the point. That's the importance of why we need a diversified portfolio. We got to take a quick break. And then I promise we're going to jump into navigating the financial markets. You're listening to Money Matters.
Welcome back, listeners. Welcome to Money Matters on this Saturday morning. We are talking about navigating the financial markets. And right before the break, we were talking about how news and everything can swing markets quickly through emotions. And let's talk about how our clients, our investors out there navigate these financial markets.
Well, first and foremost, I know we always start with the basics, and it's like, boy, guys, you repeat the same stuff every week. Well, it's important to start with, you need to know what your financial goals are, because you invest for your goals. You invest for time horizon. And that's a key piece in how you navigate these financial markets. If you come to me and say, Brent, I'm going to need money in 6 months. Well, I'm not putting it in the stock market. I'm going to put it in CDs or a money market, because you're saying I need this in 6 months. I don't know where the market's going in 6 months, so I'm going to put it in something where there is no volatility. CD, you're going to get your principal plus interest back. Money market, there's the possibility the money market interest rate could go down, but you're going to get your principal back plus interest. So we invest for time horizon, but let's focus on navigating financial markets for retirement.
Okay.
And so we're talking long-term investing at this point, but we'll try to also come back to what if you're close to retirement, because then your time horizon is different there. So let's just start with understanding your goals, and let's just set that goal. Well, the goal here, what we're talking about today, is the long-term goal of retirement.
Yeah, so for that, think in the future, do you have a date in mind, an age in mind, a dollar figure in mind that you want to save to have go into retirement? You know, for some people, it could be starting a second career could be a form of retirement. Having a certain dollar amount and being able to travel. Here we had a couple that you mentioned earlier, 5 years they're going to do the traveling. They're doing it a little differently, where a lot of people that retire now, where do they want to live? What kind of a lifestyle do they want to have? Do they want to be in the South where it's warm all winter long? So these are all things that need to come up in a discussion to talk about retirement goals. And for everyone out there, Brent, it's different. Some people say, hey, I like working. I like what I do. There's value to me in that. For other people say, no, I want to back down on what I'm doing now and do other things differently. I talked to a couple this week. He is a research engineer, but when they built their house, he had a specific garage built underneath his current garage. He loves to work on vehicles to repair them, and then he resells them. And he says, that's going to be, in a sense, my second career. I love that. I love the fun of taking a car that maybe is not running well and just making it better and reselling it.
All right, so next step, we kind of got those financial goals set there. You really need to assess your risk profile in order to navigate financial markets. There are some people that we meet with that are like, I know markets go up. I know markets go down. I want you to be as aggressive as you can because I believe I will end up with a better outcome. There's other clients we meet and say, I can't stomach to see my account go down at all. And so we have to assess your risk profile as we start to build out a portfolio to navigate these financial markets. It is important to research and educate yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people don't want to do that, and that's okay. We try to educate our clients as they come in so they understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. So that doesn't mean you need to go out and get self-help finance books or get on the internet necessarily. But you need to have some education to understand what is it that you're even investing in.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we pride ourselves on. We help educate our clients. And like you said, we're not asking our clients to go out and become financial planners themselves. We want our clients to ask questions. How do we get paid, Brent, to just the fundamentals of how and why we invest for their specific purpose and have a general working knowledge of that. We're not asking you to be professionals. You know, a lot of people will come to us and Brent and say, Brent, I just want you to handle my finances. I just want you to do this for me. But we still need to understand the client's goals so that we're working together and that they're not confused by stuff. And we want to help with that. We're going to explore different investment options. We want our clients to learn about different investment classes. We want them to learn about bonds, stocks, some of the differences, and look to reputable sources for information that they get, because there's a lot of news out there today and there's a lot of misinformation. You need to take that information and come to us, and we'll help kind of sift through all the stuff and what works for you.
Well, let's get into the meat of the discussion today here, Carrie. And what we want to talk about really is building out your investment portfolio to navigate the financial markets. And the key word there is always going to be diversification. And I want to explain what that means. Diversification is a strategy where you mix a wide variety of investment types within a portfolio in an attempt to reduce portfolio risk.
Okay.
Diversification is most often done by, you know, investing in these different asset classes. And let's just talk about some of the different asset classes that you can invest in. Kerry, I'll kick that over to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of different asset classes out there. And the common ones that we most often talk about, we talk about stocks or equities, one and the same thing. We talk about bonds. We talk about real estate. And, you know, in the past number of years, cryptocurrency has become another asset class out there. But let's look beyond that a little bit, too, because we're hearing more and more information about what has been noted as alternative investments. And sometimes people get the misconception that alternative investments are high risk and you can only put money in it if you're willing to lose money. No, that's not the case. Alternative investments can include things like private equity. You have companies out there that are buying other private companies and building them up and reselling them. And with our clients, we can help people invest in these type of things. We have private debt, meaning these companies are loaning money out to buy other companies, or they're loaning money out so that these other companies can improve and grow and then get resold again and hopefully at a profit. Not always, but we're hoping it is. We hear the term also hedge funds. Hedge funds can kind of go, whoa, that could be high risk. But a hedge fund really is something that operates inversely of the market. It can hedge against a falling market and can help reduce your risk. And Brent, highlight a little bit more.
Yeah, so
on that.
Just so we don't run out of time here. The point is there's just, you know, we do want to spread your money over lots of categories. Again, Kerry mentioned a few of them. Real estate's a big one. Commodities, even collectibles can be, and precious metals, gold, silver, platinum. So the point of that is we need to structure a portfolio that is diversified. And the reason we do that is different categories perform better at different times. We started off the show with a little market update. Right now, stock market, large growth companies are leading the charge, but that's not true every year. Some years it's different categories. Some years real estate's the best place to be invested. Some years gold can have a big run up. It's always different categories. And so it's important to spread your wealth over these different categories to help reduce portfolio risk and maximize return. So how do we reduce portfolio risk? The key to diversification is making sure that the investment classes that you invest in are not correlated to each other. Mm-hmm. Let me explain what correlation means.
It's a big word, Brent.
It is a big word. If you invest in things that move up and down together, you really haven't diversified yourself. So let's just use an example. Let's just say you've invested in the stock market and this isn't a great example, but I'll just use real estate. Mm-hmm. And if they're moving up and down together, well, you really haven't solved anything with diversification, because the idea of diversification in building out a portfolio that's not correlated is when one thing's down, you want to have investments that are going up. And so it's important to have some of that diversification. Now, I used a bad example because real estate's not necessarily correlated with the stock market. In fact, there's negative correlation there. A lot of times, if the stock market is going down, real estate might be going up. We saw the reverse of that last year. Mm-hmm. The stock market went up, and we saw commercial real estate investments go down.
Yeah.
And so it's important to spread your money out over different asset classes that are not correlated, so that, just like I said, if something's down, we got other stuff that's going up. And that's one of the best key takeaways to navigate the ever-changing financial markets. Yeah.
Well, and diversification goes just beyond different asset classes. Diversification needs to be achieved also through purchasing different investments in different countries, industries, size of companies, lengths of when investments come due. So there's all of this in that planning. You mentioned earlier too, if you need money in the short term, we're not going to put you in the market. We're going to put you in short-term investments like CDs or money markets. So that's part of the diversification picture also.
And then the other piece is throwing in things like bonds. We didn't talk about that yet, but throwing in some what we call fixed income investments. Bonds tend to be far less volatile. They're not tied to the stock market. Bonds are a mathematical formula tied to interest rates. And so having a portion of your investments in the bond portfolio is important. So stock market takes a big drop. Normally, bonds don't. Well, then what can we do? We can then sell some of our bonds and buy in when the stock market is down. Yeah. Watch the stock market come back up, shift some back to bonds. So it's an ever-evolving strategy, and that's where the importance of rebalancing comes in.
Constant monitoring and rebalancing of that is you just don't buy it and hold it. You do need to make tune-ups. Sometimes it may be major adjustments, but a lot of times it's just a major tune-up and rebalancing things and readjusting your portfolio according to your goals, because speed bumps come along, detours come along, and you have things that happen in life, you know. And then the best thing, seek professional advice. So, Brent, how do listeners get a hold of us? If they want to get a second opinion on something, how do they get a hold of us?
Or a first opinion. It doesn't have to be a second opinion. True. Many of our listeners have become clients. So Carrie and I are financial advisors in Zeeland at Cooley Godfrey Investment Group. And if you're listening to the show today saying, I really need to have someone come alongside me and help me strategize and make sure I'm investing correctly to achieve my goals, we'd love to talk with you. And you can reach us at 616-931-1223. Check out our website if you want to learn more about us, CooleyGodfrey.com. And we have run out of time for this week's show. Next week, we will be talking about...
I love this show, Brent's money.
Money and relationships. Yep. How to manage finances as a couple. Maybe we can ask our wives to come in. We'll see if they would like to do that. But we got to go. We're out of time, Carrie.
That would be a fun discussion.
We got to go, Carrie. All right. We'll talk to you next week with more Money Matters.
Thanks for listening to Money Matters on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. If you need help with your personal financial needs or goals, please call us at 616-931-1223 or Google Cooley Godfrey Investment Group in Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investment or investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Join us next week for Money Matters on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.